Welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity United Methodist Church, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart of our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship here at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And our scripture is John 14, 23-29. Sorry, I have to find it. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while you still were with me. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe."
Word of God for the people of God. Our bishop has a saying, all in and on the move. I absolutely love that saying, all in. What would happen if we as a church committed and followed through with being all in for Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what would happen. If we were to come together in one accord and be all in, fully present, dedicated to our Lord and Savior, not only would each and every one of us grow individually, spiritually, mentally, but this church would grow and we would serve our community. Our bishop invites us to come to annual conference expecting an encounter with God that is fresh and powerful. If we, the body, were all in and on the move, called, committed, and connected, coming to church expecting, having a bold expectancy that God would move in a mighty way. God will indeed honor that. She quotes Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Today's powerful passage captures Jesus' loving promises that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon us. Jesus Christ promises to be with us from now until the end of age. Does He promise that it's all going to be a rose garden? No. We are going to face trials. We are going to face tragedy. We are going to face illness. We are going to face all kinds of things in this life. But we do not have to face it alone. Our God, first and foremost, is with us. And then we have a called, committed connection within this church that will support us, that will pray for us, that will lift us up. Our lectionary passage this week is Jesus' response to his disciples' questions. Jesus has been talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you folks, but the Holy Spirit is my best friend. He is with me constantly. He is the one who encourages and empowers me. He's also the one that convicts me. I remember being told once, at least once a month, you should go to church and feel convicted, not condemned. That's the enemy. Convicted, stirred to change, encouraged to become more than you are right now in Christ Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit will give you the power to live that out. He will reveal himself. I do not give to you as the world gives. We're going to hear that over and over and over again today. I do not give to you as the world gives. John 14:27. I give you peace. I give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace in the middle of a diagnosis. A peace in the middle of tragedy. A peace in the middle of whatever you are experiencing in your life. Jesus describes this familiarity or ability to resonate with and recognize the revelation of the Almighty God as love. Have you ever just suddenly felt the love of the Holy Spirit wash over you and you have no other explanation for how you feel? Then the Holy Spirit has poured himself down on you. I love to say I've got God bumps. I can feel the Holy Spirit when he pours himself out on me. It changes my mindset. Those who love me keep my word. Those who love me, my Father will love. Those who love me, says Jesus, we will come into them and live with them. There is no greater promise than that, beloved. Then the Holy Spirit will come into us and live with us. Talk about heaven here on earth. When the Holy Spirit resides in you and you have a consciousness that allows you to feel the Holy Spirit moving and working in you. Those who love me, Jesus says, we will make our home in them. We, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How is this different from the way that the world gives? There are a lot of things that demand our love and devotion. But how many of those things actually come with the gift of peace? Think about it. In your day-to-day life, all the different things that demand your love, your care, your attention, and your devotion. But do they come with the gift of peace? That has to be our first and foremost thought upon awakening. God, be with me throughout my day. Guide me in my decisions. Help me in every way possible. How many of those things that we are committed to point us towards God or towards others rather than being consumed with self? Most of us, on a daily basis, are pretty consumed with self. That doesn't mean we're selfish. We'd give anything to anyone. But it means that our thought life is consumed with self. How much happier are we when we get out of self, when we think about others, when we think about God's Word? We get out of self. I can remember somebody telling me, if you are consumed with self, you fall into the traps of self-pity. And when that happens, pick up your phone, call three other people, and ask them how they're doing. Don't talk about yourself. Call three other people and ask them how they're doing. Remember that loving Jesus becomes a journey of having the fullness of God dwell deep inside of you and the body of believers to which you belong. So when you're praying in the morning, God, guide me. God, guide my footsteps. Look around you now and see who's sitting where and pray for these different people. That's how I pray for you all. I see you sitting out here, and I pray for each and every one of you. Get out of self. Pray for others. Because it is this body of believers that is going to uphold you in your time of need. Remember that loving Jesus is about becoming God's home, making your insides a place that our Lord wants to dwell in. If your insides are filled with chaos and confusion, do you think our Lord is going to dwell there? No. He'll be present for us. He'll answer some prayers. But to dwell in there continually, giving us strength, peace, and courage, that requires a calmness and a trust in God that allows those things to be there. I do not give as the world gives, says Jesus. And how true is that? Jesus humbled himself by taking on humanity. He came to us in the flesh so that he could understand all our trials and all our pain. And what did we give him? We spat upon him. We beat him. We tortured him. We put a crown of thorns on his head. We nailed those nails into the cross. Don't fool yourselves, beloved. Had we been the ones back then, we likely would have done the same thing as the Jewish people did then. So we remember that Jesus Christ suffered and died for us. God provides all that we need to love and to be faithful, equipping and empowering us with forgiveness, with his presence, with his very self. Just having him with you gives you anything that you need to face any given day, any given trial. Connection is so very important, beloved. Having this connection amongst ourselves is so very important. I remember when FaceTime and video chat first came out. These pictures up here, Heather is reading to my twins, or she's showing them the pictures. I'm in the background reading on the phone to them. And another time, there's Aubriana sleeping. I'm reading to her, putting her to sleep. I am connected to them through that video chat. There was a commercial out a long time ago. Busy parents rushing through their days, and yet video chatting with their children at night, reading bedtime stories. And then it shows the parent returning home and picking up where they were at those bedtime stories and reading to those children. Now, we all know that the very best is to be present with our children, to be present with our community. But when we can't be present with our community, we do have phones. We do have video chat. We do have the gift of prayer, because communication is a powerful thing that connects us. I know sometimes my phone starts ding, 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 ding. And I think to myself, oh my gosh, it keeps dinging. It never stops. But in reality, when I pick that phone up and I see all the prayer requests and everybody answering it, I remember the gift I have in this community called Trinity United Methodist Church. I have the gift of each and every one of you praying for one another, praying for me, caring for those that we go to church with. That is a powerful, powerful connection. The Holy Spirit is more than a message from Jesus that He and the Father are coming back. The Holy Spirit is God within us, residing within us, dwelling within us. It is His promise to be with us now and forevermore. Philip Yancey, the best-selling author, once holed up in a cabin in Colorado. He took three projects with him. He took mounds of stuff to do. He was going to be there for 2 weeks. He was going to work on all of his writing projects and get them all caught up. He read one book while he was there. The snow fell 6 feet in total in those 2 weeks. He read the living Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. Reading it in that way changed his mindset. I thought about that. I thought, what would it be like if I actually had the time to sit down and read the Word from beginning to end? We would see so many more connections from one chapter, from one prophet to another, from one gospel to another. He said that it completely changed his life. He had to call somebody to clear the driveway when he was done. But then he was empowered to finish all three of those writing projects in one day. After spending 2 weeks alone with God in His Word, the Bible shows God's power. But there are things God cannot do. We discussed this once before. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at every time. We tend to perceive our God as being aloof, as being emotionless. Read your Word. Our God experiences delight and joy. He also experiences anger and frustration. Our God is not aloof. The Bible shows us God's power to force Pharaoh to his knees and to reduce the mighty king Nebuchadnezzar to a grass-chewing animal. Our God is indeed powerful. But it also shows us the impotence of power to bring about what God desires the very most. He desires our love. He wants our love. Beloved, that's one thing that He can't force. That's one thing that He refuses to make us do. To love Him. In order to love Him, we need to spend time with Him. And I'm as guilty as anybody else about not spending that time with Him. Today, in this passage, Jesus is talking about His going away. He is preparing His disciples then and us now through the reading of the Word. And it takes John 4 chapters nonstop all the way through to describe Him going away. And then one of the disciples asks, Lord, what will we do without You? What will we do after you leave? There is more than a hint of separation anxiety in that disciple's voice. They had come to the point of clinging to their rabbi, their teacher, their Lord, and their Savior. Now, what are we going to do? And he says, the Father will send a comforter. The Father will send someone who will be with you always. The Father will send someone to remind you, of all that we have said. You know, I used to worry that I couldn't quote scripture, verse, and chapter just like that. But do you know what? When there's someone across from me who desperately needs God, it comes to mind. And I can find that exact place in the Bible. He dwells within us. And always, always remember that He will rise up and help you to meet the need in front of you. Whether it is counseling someone, praying with someone, or going through a tragedy, He will rise up and He will meet that need. Not you, but Him. Whoever does not love me, does not keep my words. Let's go a step further. What if you don't know the word to begin with? What if you don't know the word of God? I was 33 years old when I came to God. When I walked in the church, I literally thought the roof was going to come down on me. And God started speaking to me. Ezekiel, is that a book in the Bible? He started speaking His word to me. I thought I was crazy. And then the man who was now my spiritual father, my mentor, his wife was preaching in the church the first day that I went. She took me to a Joyce Myers convention. And that's exactly what she was talking about, was the word of God coming to mind to you. That does not negate the fact that we need to be in the word. We need to have the word inside of us. Because the more we know the word, the more it will help us to get through our daily processes. Many are familiar with all kinds of biblical meanings and from Sunday school sayings. You know, those memes that come about now. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. The seventh commandment. Thou shall not admit adultery. At some point, we have to admit our sins to our God in order for Him to wash us clean. It is preferable that we go to one other person and do that. The reason for that is when we admit our sins to God, we restore ourselves in God. When we go to one other trusted person, it then restores our relationships with humanity. Try it. You will no longer cross the street when you see someone that you're not comfortable with. You will no longer want to hide when you're in the grocery store and somebody that you don't care for comes up upon you. A professor of Bible at a Lutheran school recently wrote, nearly all students in a typical undergraduate class consider themselves to be Christian. They all are somewhat related with the church. They all have been on a fairly regular basis. Nevertheless, the word of the Bible is almost a foreign land to each and every one of those. I find those words alarming. To use William Stringfellow's words, virtual abandonment of the Word of God in the Bible runs rampant, even in our churches today. We do not expand upon the Word of God, even in church today. We fear stepping on someone's toes. We fear offending somebody. We want to be politically correct. Beloved, I'm trying with everything in me to quit my people-pleasing ways, because the only one that I need to please is my Lord and Savior. If I step on your toes, come and talk to me. Let us reason together. Make sure that it's in the Word. And you know how you'll know that? By being in the Word yourself. Never, ever take what I say, what any other preacher says, what your parents or your grandparents say as gospel. Get into the Word yourself. One of the best ways that you can teach a new language to a child is to submerse yourself in it. So turn off the television. That's how we fast. Read the Word daily. Study the Word faithfully. Help shape the Bible curriculum for the children in your life. Help shape the Bible curriculum for the adults in your life. Find a study to attend. We have a study on Sunday morning, Overcoming Worry, the book of Joshua. We have a study on Monday evening, the Lord's Prayer. If neither one of these appeal to you, go to another church somewhere and find a study that you want to participate in. I'm not saying you get to go there on Sunday morning. You get to go and study. That's it. Then come right on back. People of God, so very much is at stake. In fact, if I'm reading today's passage correctly, everything is at stake. Those who love me will keep my word. And we will come to them and we will make a home within them. I don't know about you, but that's what I want more than anything else, is for the triune God to make a home within me. Because I could wish for money. I could wish for problems to be solved, but they will keep on coming up. Bills will keep appearing. Problems will keep appearing. But when I have the presence of God deep within me, I can handle anything that comes my way, and I can walk beside you. When you are dealing with something that you are struggling with, our attention to the Word will determine whether or not Jesus has moved in our lives. Are you all in? Are you all in? If you're anything like me, probably not. I struggle with consistency. Are you all in? Are you called? Everybody is called. We are all a priesthood of believers. Are you committed to knowing the Word of God? Are you connected? I know all of you are connected because I see you here every Sunday. I truly believe that if we all come together in one accord, God would honor that with spiritual growth and blessings would abound. Jesus said that he came that we might have life abundantly, not muddle through, not be stressed all the time, that we might live life abundantly. That's our choice. Joy is our choice. When we come together, when we are all in, when we are worshiping our God with everything that we have, when we're in the Word of God, when we're praying for one another, He resides within us. I believe that as we grow closer to being all in as a church, we will become every bit as powerful as these cardboard testimonies that we're about to watch. As you watch it, think about how God has moved in your own life and how He has changed you. I know all of you. I know in some way, shape, or form, all of you have been changed by our Heavenly Father.
What would be